This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Bulavinaka, Volavina to my Fijian friends, and of course, hello and welcome to all of our Neesian footy listeners. We are the go-to place for your Pacifica footy news and stories in the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and with me is my Cook Island Koi, Tinira Arona. T, we have a big show planned. PNC kicks off as well in Fiji. I'm pumped.
A huge show today. Kia rana, Sammy, and malo to all our Tongan listeners as we are coming towards the end of Tongan Language Week. So, malo and kia rana. A lot of NRL and NRLW news to dive into. We will catch up with Sala Tonga Tuki, who is our NRLW expert, and we'll reach out to Totai Kefu, who will be reporting live from the one and only Japan, your second home, third home. Yeah,
Nihonji, something like that over in Japan. Beautiful.
And then we'll do a bit of our competitive, bring that competitive spirit out of us. I am, I'm not doing too well with the tipping and Professor Paulo, so I need to get back into this winner's circle. But coming up first, we've got the footy news.
Hey guys, Patrick Pellegrini, Sammy's favourite cousin from Galitahi. You're listening to Neesian Footy.
Hey, Patrick Pellegrini, that's how the commentators say his name over there. He is with the Ikaletahi at the moment, preparing for the upcoming test matches. So good luck to them. And yes, T, let's kick off with last night's game. Did you see this one coming?
Absolutely not. I got home from training last night, and it was 16-0 to the Manly Sea Eagles. It was only about 22 minutes in. But then from there, I've seen Tongan Lihai Hopuare. He scored the second try for the Manly Sea Eagles. But from there, took a seat, and the Tigers just grew confidence after a try from their leader, Api Korosau. He darts out from dummy half from a quick play of the ball from Fanua Pole, and Api beats the markers to score a try. Now, the Tigers end up scoring 30 unanswered points. Latu Fainu, he came off the bench and made an instant impact, a nice short ball to set up a try. Then, a few moments later, he picks up a loose ball, finds the try line and scores himself. But the Seagulls, you know, they tried to make that comeback, but it was Latu's brother, Samuela Fainu, scores the final try for the Eagles that seals the win in Leichhardt in Sydney last night.
Played to Kuroisau, goes left away to Latu Fainu, then away to Galvin. Galvin sends the pass away to his left to Papali'i. Papali'i's going to be caught by Garrick, and Olakawatu got the pass to Samuela Fainu. Spinchu 1-2 scores! Holy Nelly! Game, set, bingo! Upset of the year! West Tigers 34, Manly Ringer 26.
You heard it there, upset of the year. Manly Seagulls sitting sixth place on the ladder, and the Tigers are currently last on the NRL ladder. And I believe they have a bye next week. Then they play Parramatta Eels, which could potentially be the wooden spoon match. So loser of that game gets the last
my
place.
My prediction could come true here. I chose the Parramatta Eels. I've said it before that it was by pure luck, pure fluke, that I did that, and if that comes true, are you going to get a tattoo?
Of what? The wooden spoon Parramatta Eels?
Yeah, just something like that, because we've got so many things happening. Surely that's got to be the best prediction of the year.
To my knees and footy tattoo I'll be getting at the end of the season. Speaking of wooden spoons, have you got any yourself?
Oh, plenty, mate. That's a silly question. Is a Pope Catholic, mate? Of course. I've had heaps.
I think I got one at Sharks in 2014.
And, there you go.
Yeah.
We'll leave it there.
It was a very, very fun season. But speaking of fun, I've got a fun fact for you. So
talk to me.
The three Fainu brothers, Samuela, Latu and Sione, they played the three Trbojevic brothers last night for Manly Seagulls. Now, the last time three brothers played another three brothers was in 2016 when the Burgess brothers for Souths played who?
The Samoan, there's three of them. He's the youngest player to play for Australia. Those
yes.
brothers. What's their last name again?
The Matautia brothers.
Oh, Matautia.
Peter, Sione and Pat. So special night for the Fainu brothers last night. And, you know, they got a win and all three brothers played a huge part. Look into other games. I will start with the Storm versus the Dolphins. So they'll play that game in Melbourne. Dolphins in ninth place with only three games to go in the season. So they'll be hoping to upset the minor premiership favourites. Plenty of exciting Nijin matchups in this one. None bigger than the Samoan Nelson Asofa-Solomona. Now he'll be playing his 200th NRL game for the Storm, and he'll be going up against Tongan Tavita Pangai Jr., both players with huge size and power, but also both back rowers and both teams add plenty of value as well. So Storm's Sean Bloor and Ali Katoa will take on the Dolphins' Kaneli Lemuelu and Felice Kaufusi. A lot riding on this game for one team. There'll be the hopes of minor premierships, and for the other, a place in the finals.
Well, if the Storm win this weekend, do they wrap it up, the minor premiership?
Well, the Storm sit on 40, Panthers are on 36, three games to go. They win tonight, but they'll have to lose the next two. The Panthers have to win the next three, and they'll finish even, but they'll go down to four and against.
Ooh, it's a tight one.
Highly favoured to finish minor premierships if they do win. In another match, I went with the Shire Derby. Dragons versus the Sharks on Sunday in Wollongong in Sydney. Dragons sitting in eighth place, hoping to stay in the eight. Samoan Rafe Talamarana, he returns for the Dragons. He comes back from injury. And the Fainga brothers, Matthew and Max, also pair up in the centres. For the Sharks, we've got Kale Iro. He's had a great rookie season at centre. I'm looking forward to watching the big man off the bench as well, Royce Hunt. Watching him come on, stamp his authority off the bench for the Sharks. Now, the Sharks needing a win as the Bulldogs, your favoured Bulldogs, are chasing them down for a top four finish, them and the Roosters. So, very, very tight.
Top four finish, did you say?
The Bulldogs are a chance, strong chance. So, yep. We've got the Roosters and the Sharks at 34 points and the Bulldogs at 32. Roosters and Sharks third and fourth. And
Tight ladder in the NRL coming down to it.
With the last three games to go. So, yeah, plenty of games to look forward to. In other news, we've seen Spencer Leniu, the Samoan representative for the Roosters. He signs an extension that will go to 2027. And we've got Semi Valamay. He re-signs with the Cowboys for next season. So, great news for both boys. Looking forward to watching them in the upcoming seasons. And remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia.
Outstanding work, Jeez. T. Outstanding work, T. Yep, NRL absolutely flying as always. And then speaking of flying, we have the flying Fijians. We're going to move over to rugby union. Is that right? Done with rugby league for now until we get to summer.
The time is yours, brother.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate it. Rugby union news. We have the Pacific Nations Cup. Kicks off today, Fiji versus Samoa. This game will be played in Suva. Fiji have put out a very, very strong team to take on Samoa at home. A few debutants, actually, as well. We see Epeli Momo on the wing for the Fijians. And then here's an interesting one. Vuate Karawalevu at fullback. He is starting. Played for the Waratahs last season, but he's also former Rooster. I think he came up through the Silk Tails, went into the North Sydney? Is that the feeder club?
For the North Sydney Bears.
North Sydney Bears. Played for them and would just end up training with the Roosters a couple of years ago. I don't think he got a game, but
he was part
of the system. So now he finds himself playing on home soil, making his debut for the Flying Fijians. So good luck to him. We also see Moses Sorovi. He was a former Queensland Reds scrum half. He's been travelling with the Fijian Drua just with the Super Rugby season just gone, and he gets his chance to come off the bench, as well as Fijian Drua gun Api Salome Vota. He will also come off the bench. I'm surprised he actually hasn't played for Fiji before, because he's been outstanding for the Drua for the last three seasons. Samoa also have some of their players making a debut. Lalo Milo, I didn't say his name twice by accident. That's his first and last name. He will start at outside centre, as well as Tuna Tuitama. He will start on the wing. So hopefully this will be a massive crowd in Suva, and it'll be a blockbuster of a game to kick off the Pacific Nations Cup.
Any names stand out for you in the Samoan team?
Andrew Tuala, the hooker. He played with, or we played together at the Waratahs in my last season. Retired. Wasn't going to play, was just playing club footy up at the Hunters, Newcastle Hunters, and then just found himself taking a call, an SOS call, because I was short on hookers. No footy under his belt. Played in those three games against Italy and Spain. Played well, and now he's starting. So I wish Andrew Tuala all the best. The old bull still kicking around. So well done to him. Just on Samoa as well, they'll be celebrating 100 years of rugby. Starting on Sunday the 25th, it'll be a week-long celebration in Samoa, which will lead into the big clash between Samoa and Tonga. So there's plenty happening over there, which will be some exciting news, and I'm sure the fans will be going off. Apparently there's like 600 ex-players heading over for that game to watch them take on the boys in red. But this also kicks off 100 years of rugby between Fiji, Samoa and Tonga. The three island nations had their first international games against each other back in 1924. Can you believe that? 100 years of going against each other, big bodies clashing. So,
you know any names that were part of them teams?
Part of the 1924 team?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sione, Mafi, Te Vita.
And Samaima.
Samaima. So, yeah, hopefully, yeah, we see some big things happening. Like good news as well for Samoa, because there's plenty of off-field woes at the moment that are happening behind the scenes. We heard of Brian Lima, no longer going to be the sevens coach for them. And there's just, you know, with all the financial stuff happening with them, you know, potentially not going on the Northern Hemisphere tour at the end of the year. Hopefully the result against Fiji goes well, and that week-long celebration brings a lot of joy and good news for Rugby Samoa. So hopefully that happens there. And on the Wallaby front, they head to Argentina, and they welcome a very, very good player, Brendan Pangai-Amosa. He comes back from France. He signed with the Western Force. And he hasn't played Super Rugby in a couple of years because he signed with the Western Force for next season. Makes him eligible for the Wallabies. So he joins the tour as their hooker. So there's some good news there for the Wallabies.
Beautiful. Nice, Sammy. We'll catch up with more rugby union with our expert, Totai Kefu. But up first, we have the one, the only, Sala Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, joining us, we have our Fetu Samoan, New South Wales origin and NRLW superstar, and now a nominee for the Veronica White Community Award, Sala Tongatuki. Congratulations, Sala, on your nomination.
What can't she do? What can she do?
Boys.
And for all our listeners, you can head to the NRL website and vote, because, you can. This award is given to the most votes, and I'll be giving my vote to you, Sala.
Do you know the hardest thing about that vote is actually getting through the bit where you got to get to the vote, where you know have to go, name all the, click on all the bicycles or all the trucks. You know, so you're not a robot.
I am not a robot.
For some reason, I always miss out on that one bike. Anyway.
But congrats, Sala. How's it feel?
Yeah, thanks, boys. I still pinch myself today that I'm a nominee for this. So I really don't think I do much in community. I think it's just in my nature that what I do is all natural. Like, I don't think anyone should be trying to. Oh, that's just me. Like, I don't go out looking for praise or anything. It's just something growing up, and I've always wanted to give back to the community that's given me so much growing up, especially in rugby league. But yeah, I'm excited. Definitely in and amongst you know, great nominees as well from other respective clubs. So really, yeah, just sort of like a big shout out to all those girls as well that you know, that are in the running for it. You know, the more the merrier in the community, and we can give back, that'll make me really happy. So, yeah, see how we go.
Spoken like a true champion.
Yes, yep. That's why we all love you, Sala. And we are hoping, this award comes to you. So great work. Congratulations. And we are proud of you. On to the footy. How was last weekend? A really tight loss against the Eels. Talk us through it.
Each week we've been building, that's for sure. I did say that we've been struggling to play a 70-minute game, and I felt like that was our best 70 minutes. We were just really poor in executing, and we missed our, little opportunities. And we were down in our good ball end and had actually better possession than the Eels did. So, the score doesn't reflect, and it's a bit disheartening. But, we did let in some – We did break some of our defence principles, which allowed, their second try in. So, we did go back to the whiteboard and sort of recollect and just spoke on things that we need to be better on, and sometimes it can be an individual thing as well. So we've had to make some changes to the team list, and, it was a bit, the first session after that, change was made, it was sort of hard, trying to show up for one another. Eat that individuals I'm struggling, but we sort of stuck at it as a team and just, kept supporting one another that, we're getting better and better, and just, reassuring that we need to trust the process. I know we're 0-4. Hopefully we can go out this weekend against Broncos and get our first win. We've got nothing to lose, and what we're saying to each other now, we just really need a win and put some spirit and pride back into the jersey, and let alone the team culture. It's been great still, but I know we just need that win. So
as long as you are learning, you are growing, taking, we always say 1 week is a long time in rugby league, and you've always got this week to turn things around. But I asked you just off air if the PNG Wrecking Ball superstar Elsie Albert played for the Eels, and you were about to share a short story. I said, save it for the show. Talk us through it. What was that moment like?
I'll get into that moment. But Elsie is such a big game player. Her presence, you can imagine the confidence that the Eels girls and that would, play off the back of that. Like, last season, the Eels team that we played against, obviously the score was different, and we quite dominated that game. But coming into that game last weekend, we knew they weren't going to be the same outfit that we played last year, last season. And seeing what we saw, what Kennedy can do off the back of that too, she's such a go forward for them. And once you see Elsie run, she'll be in there and having the next run. She knows that Elsie builds momentum and quick play of the balls, and that's something that, they've been doing really well, taking advantage of it. Elsie, she in a defence, she's great. For me, I did choke on one of my carries. Elsie came in blindsided, and I sort of, coughed the ball up and, lost the ball. So after that, I was just running at Elsie rather than, trying to get away footwork into space. But it's always a good paddle against the PNG sis. She's very humble. She's such a great player, not just on the field but off the field. And I love competing with Elsie. I think my first the grand final appearance when she was at Dragons, that was the first time I played against her and she's just always been building. She's so strong, just so kind as well. So I love playing against Elsie.
So just in terms of, you tried to just find the weak shoulder of Elsie, is that right? Is that what you tried to do in that carry?
No, everyone's scared of Elsie. I know just talking to other mates from other teams, they're like, she's just this big bowl, thing that's just coming at you. You just sort of want to get out of her way. It's such a cool statement for Elsie to have, and I'm so happy that she's got that for her going as well in the game. But, for me, I love to put myself in a mindset where I want to compete this and challenge it. Hopefully it brings out the best in my game. So, a lot of respect to Elsie, but, I guess every team's got to try and do their job and stop her. And she done really well in that game.
And just on that, with your powerful runs, we saw you bump off someone silly during that game as well, and they went flying. But 2 days before, I'm pretty sure it was 2 days before that, you're squatting 180 kilos, box squat. Now, I'm thinking, surely 2 days before the game.
I'm
sitting in the saunas and just the ice bath and just kicking back. There's no way I was lifting any weights.
I sent a message. I sent a she's laughing at you in the sauna.
Have you seen my getaway sticks, my chicken legs? Oh, there's a reason why.
Well, speaking of the squatting, I sent a message straight on our group chat, Nijan Footy group chat, and I just said, "Oi, you got to go check out Sala's story. She's lifting 180 kilos squatting." I'm like, that is unreal.
So, yeah, is that where you get it from? And, like, is that normal? Are you the only one doing that top of weight 2 days before a game?
Oh, my gosh, you guys know I don't really like to boast or anything, but I do lift the heaviest in my team. So, and I do try and, like, you know, everyone wants to just get – because we do gym after field session and it can be, a bit too much just the load on the body. And I try to tell myself, like, when I listen to my body, like, oh, I'll just go light just so I can get it done faster. But it's just not in me. Like, I think, like, when we see it, because, like, our S&C gives us, based on our RMs that we do testings at the start of the season, he does, like, our programs based on that, and you're 70%, blah, blah, blah. And, like, obviously, I max it when I go for it. So then I know how to expect that it's going to quite be a bit high still, even though it's like 80% lift. So, yeah, if I'm really feeling good in that, and I feel like when I have a good prep at training, like not just at, like, you know, in on field, I try and get as many Ks in my legs and still put effort in every drill that, you know, gets presented to us. In a gym, I do the same thing as well. If I can lift heavy, I know I'm going with a lot of confidence into my game, knowing that I can lift any person around me. That's just me. Like, so yeah, if everything that we do in a gym, it's definitely related to footy. When you're doing hip thrust, you're thinking of that trying to get a quick play of the ball. If you're on your back, you're trying to get them off you. If you're doing squats and that, you know, you can sort of like your efforts and that getting off the ground and back ripping to the line. Like, they're just also, you just got to find your own sense of how it relates to your game. And yeah, having 180, it's like having two footy players on you and you're just trying to get them off you to try and get a quick play of the ball again. So
I'm picturing this is where I went wrong in my career. I didn't try to think about transferring the weights to the footy field. It was like, I want to do bicep curls because summer's coming up.
Do a few just crunches. A few crunches. Even though nothing comes out.
No abs. If I had a different mindset, like, okay, I'm doing a bench press or that to be able to palm and whatever.
100%. Like, it's literally just palming people and that. That's what I honestly think of when I do dumbbells and bench, like barbell stuff. I just think of just getting people off me and that. And one day you're going to, like, I know us girls don't have as many heavy people, like, in the game because, like, everyone's quite good and fit and mobile. But, yeah, and I guess in a men's game you've got, like, what, 120 kilo, like, props so you can still carry that weight and play so good. So, yeah, I don't think we have anyone as heavy as that. So it's
so what is cool. What is your PB when it comes to squatting?
I haven't really tested.
Oh, there's 200 easy on that. The way you did 180.
Well, she said it was 80%.
Yeah, there's easy 200 there. And that bench was low too.
I feel like I can get to the 200. Yeah, my core's not that great though, Sam, like yours.
Your core has to be great if you're lifting 180.
My core's like a melted ice cream.
But I will say I was very impressed and, yes, I admired that lift.
Thanks, boys.
That was unreal. But moving forward, you're playing the Broncos this weekend. Now, what's the week been like? What are you girls focusing on going into playing potentially one of the strongest teams in the competition right now?
Yeah. No, definitely. They've obviously didn't start well in the season, but they've come back really good firing. And even with the inclusion of Gail Broughton and Stacey Walker, we've seen how damaging we spoke on the confidence, what one player can do for the rest of the team. And those girls, the names I've just mentioned, have literally brought out so much of Miller Hufanga. Mm-hmm. And also like Tasman Rapana. Them two have been really dangerous, like linking up, and they're still doing it. And I mentioned this in last week's preview as well. Destiny Brill's also been great off the bench for them. She's got really good IQ now in and around a ruck. So it's really handy having someone like her come off the bench and continue the work. You know, Jada Ferguson starts for them really good as well. And I think Brianna Clark of Māori Heritage, she returns as well. I think she had a suspension last week. So she's a really good go forward for the Broncos girls, and we know we've highlighted her and her work ethic. We've just got to, they've got players who love to offload. Like, that's their main game plan, we've noticed, is they love to shift it. Literally, they've got players, you know, who've got that skill to ball play. And if they can shift it to their threats on an edge, which is Miller and Stacey in that, that they will definitely have some success out of that. And the training we've been doing this whole week has been firing, so positive. We've obviously, with some of our players out, and some of the changes made, we've kept it positive and stuck together really close as a group. Our plan against the Broncos have also been really, really, really detailed as well. We did play a trial game against Broncos before the NRLW season kicked off, and we had a really good game against them up there in Brisbane. And we know that's not the same team, but if we can capitalise on shutting down strong players like Ellie Brigginshaw, she does all their main kicking. She's the brains for the team, and so we can shut her down, put a bit of pressure on her wherever we can. That'd be good. Don't fall for her dummies. She loves it. She's gone. But also Julia Robinson and in that back line, she's a big threat in their yardage set. So we just sort of had to give our best straight line defence as we can every time we get down there. So, yeah, we can limit those players, even Miller in and around a ruck. She loves that, step behind a ruck runs. I think we saw her do it against the Titans and she was gone. So we don't want that repeating against us this weekend if we really want to get the 2 points. So, yeah.
That sounds like a great game plan. Stop that, go forward, target the brains of the team.
Oh,
and
sorry.
Nah, what you got
there
for
is,
us?
Sorry, in our team, we sort of want to do a shout out. We've got two debutantes. One is of not Polynesian, but Montana Clifford. She'll be starting at second row. She just signed with us from the Burley Bears, but she's actually a FTA girl. So she played at St Mary's Rugby League her whole junior career, and she sort of knew that there was no Harvey Norman season being played here, given she's just turned 19 and she wanted to play some footy, hence her relocation to the GC and played with Burley Bears. I'm excited to see her play beside Bucky, Lasana Lutu. She's had a really good training week with us, and she's only had one training session or two actually under her belt so far, and she's looking really sharp and smooth prepping for this game. And then my last shout out is to Tiana Lee Thorne. She's of Māori heritage and Indigenous, so she's played in our Tasha Gale, but she's been promoted and a debut for us on the wing. Very confident player, really good skills she's a fullback, but just the way she does her yardage carries and that will be a big boost for us in the middle. So I'm excited. I know she's been a big fan of Stacey Walker, and I've been chatting to her, and she's like, I just can't wait to play against someone like of her caliber. So I'm excited to see what T can do for us. I didn't get that in there.
Awesome. We know how important these milestones are, and how big these debuts can be. So we wish the girls all the best.
Thank you.
What game during this round are you looking forward to watching?
The Raiders and Cowboys game. I know, I did preview Raiders last week and I was hoping they would get the win, but they went down last week to Brisbane Broncos and obviously made a comeback in the second half, but then they just couldn't hold on to it for long, I guess, the momentum. And I really feel for them too, but I guess everyone feels for us more because we've got no win to the name. I guess going into this game against Cowboys, Darren's probably talking to the girls and, telling them stay in the grind. I did say that last week. That's something we've been struggling on, and I guess they have been too. But we've seen what they can do when they do have momentum and, keep the ball. If they can get their completion rate up, as I said, stick to the process, trust it. Hopefully they'll be able to get that win back in their game as well. But they've got Mona Lisa Soliola injured and out for this week's team.
Oh,
but
no.
That's given, it's a big blow for them. I've found that she's been really good getting that quick go forward for them as well. But I guess it's given Keremātu an opportunity to start in her replacement. She's of Cook Island heritage, and she's been rated as best game changer every time she comes off the bench for them. And if Ash can give her early ball and get her to run at Kira Dib, I know that I'm just saying this, I know that they would know that Kira often tries to stay away from that, just so she can sort of be more into the attack and have all that energy and that for it. So, yeah, I guess she's also their brains and main kicker for everything for Cowboys. So if Raiders can shut that down, that'd be really good for them. She did kick a 64th-minute field goal for Cowboys last week. And, yeah, I guess they've been struggling to stay in the grind as well. But if Raiders can capitalise on field possession and completion, I guess they should be able to keep Cowboys out of this game. I'm probably being biased in who I'm picking to win this game.
Yeah, no, you don't sound like a Raiders fan at all.
Nah, don't. Sorry.
They didn't even apologise on here. But play on.
Hey, speaking of Keremātu, she represented the Cook Islands in the women's team. And I went over to PNG, my mum was the manager, and Keda and the girls were calling me uncle. And I'm like, I'm not that old, eh? Like,
nah, you calling me
uncle. They're like, uncle.
It's your grey hairs, bro. It's your grey hairs.
She does kill it on the field, and she is a wrecking ball. So looking forward to watching her play. Before we go, though, how good was it to see the Tigers get up last night and Leichhardt over the Manly Sea Eagles?
Oh, so good. I remember I was working a game last night, and I remember just hearing so many of the fans like saying, "Oh, we got to win, like, because of Luke Brooks." And obviously, he moved this season from the Tigers to the Manly Sea Eagles. And yeah, the fans were just like, I'm telling you, like, I guess when teams are doing so good, you see the best of their fan base. And I've just been so blessed to, you know, be able to work some of the games and be able to witness that kind of spirit from the fans. And it was the last home game, given that we don't have many games for the season left. And the last two home games, one's at Leichhardt and one's at Campbelltown. And I was told that it was a knee sellout last night. And I know that the Campbelltown one's a knee sellout too. So, yeah, it was crazy, the atmosphere, the feeling of the hill at Leichhardt. It's so special. I know they're restructuring that stadium, but hopefully they don't get rid of the hill, because it's something that's, you know, been in the Tigers' fan-base DNA for a long, long time. And, yeah, they just love their footy, the Balmain supporters. I heard from a loyal member that, back in the olden times, when it was two, Magpies and Balmain, apparently Balmain would dominate the Magpies, as in crowd numbers and that. And even when they went to Campbelltown, there would be more Balmain people that would be travelling all the way to Campbelltown just to support the Tigers back then. So it's kind of cool history when I was learning that only of yesterday. But, yeah, it was. I'm so happy for the boys to sort of come away on a high. Hopefully they can do it one more time, and let's not get the wooden spoon, because everyone's just been mocking me. I was like, excuse me, I've got a lot of faith in our boys. I love the boys so much.
The girls and the boys trying to avoid the wooden spoon.
It was a great game.
Yes.
And Salah, I hope your team and the girls, they follow suit. Keep the trend going. Up the Tigers this week when you come up against some Broncos. And thank you for today. Thank you for your time. Thank you for joining us here on Indonesian Footy Fridays.
Sweet. Talk to you next week. Take care.
Bye, boys.
To you, Salah. All the best this week.
Culture Shock.
Yeah, we have our culture culture shock segment, just to break up the footy news. We go island hopping, learning a little bit about our tiny islands. So I covered Tokelau last week for this segment. And today we're going to our largest audience. Huge. 24 million people. Apparently, I'm joking. I've got no idea. But there's a lot over there that listen to our Indonesian footy. We're on a PNGT.
Papua New Guinea. Well, last week you mentioned about the last meal in Tokelau. The turtle. Had plenty of questions around how that was possible, knowing that this would be that person's last meal. But I thought I would.
Oi, you're right, man. After it came out of my mouth and you started asking those questions, I was like, yeah, How do you know if that is your last meal? What happens if you defy all the odds and you get to have 4 more weeks? Is that 4 weeks of turtle?
But
I've got no idea.
Luckily, you had a few backups.
No airport.
No airport. Can you remember a couple of the others that you had off?
Nah, that was it. Wi-Fi? Nah, where was the Wi-Fi? New way.
Well, yes, I reached out to my mate Chad, BT.
Shot Chad. Who's Chad?
Chat GPT.
Oh. Oh, well played.
And he gave me an interesting fact about PNG. So sticking to that kind of theme, in the Aseki region of Papua New Guinea, the Anga people practice, sorry, A-N-G-A, I'm guessing it's pronounced Anga. Anga people practice mummification. Let me do that again. The Aseki region of Papua New Guinea, the Anga people practice mummification. By smoking their dead. These mummies are often placed in cliffside burial sites or caves and are considered to be protectors of the living. The process of mummification involves smoke drying the body, and some of these mummies are hundreds of years old.
I shouldn't be laughing. Obviously, it's a delicate process, but can you just say mummification for me one more?
Mummification. Well, there you have it. So
is this legit, though? Like, I understand Chat, Jad,
mate,
GPD.
Chat doesn't go wrong, mate.
How specific were you with your search, you know, the words that you put in? What did you actually write for it to spit out that information? Did you go fun facts or did you say
facts that will shock me? And it gave me a long list, and this was the one that stood out to me.
Okay.
Because I went along the themes of your last meal, turtles. Now we've got mummies, protectors of the living in the cliff sites of Aseki.
Okay, sweet. If you're just listening right now and you've tuned into this part, we are a footy news podcast radio station. So, but what a fun fact, T.
Where are we heading to next week?
Where do you want to go?
Let's go to Port Vila, Vanuatu.
Yes, I like that. I like it. I don't know what we're going to find, but I'm going to do the same thing on Jad GPT. I'm going to type in the same thing. All right, T. Outstanding work. So good stuff. Let's get to our Japanese correspondent, the big man, Todai Kefu.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu! Todai Kefu!
With Todai Kefu.
Yes, joining us every week to chat all things rugby union is the former Wallaby Queensland Reds legend and former Ikaletahi Tongan coach, dialing in from Japan, Todai Kefu. Moshi moshi, brother. How is it over there?
Moshi moshi, mate. It is bloody hot. It is steaming hot, mate. I've gone about 5 darker shades of brown.
I've just realised that you're wearing a t-shirt and a hat. We're used to seeing you in a jacket and a beanie. So it must be hot over there. Talk us through it. How was the move from Australia to Japan?
Yeah, no, pretty seamless. I've only been here not even a week. So landed Sunday night late, about midnight, and then basically straight into it, 7:30 meeting Monday morning, mate. So straight into it, mate, thrown in the deep end. Didn't start coaching till Monday afternoon. But great bunch of boys, great staff, great club.
Did you get the royal welcome?
No, mate. No.
Sammy said you're royalty.
Yeah, he is royalty, mate. He is.
Well, mate, I'm slowly taking over the club. They're thinking about changing the club name to Keftetsu.
Mate, I don't reckon it will take that long for that to happen. Outstanding. Speaking of some of the other Pacific Islanders that are at Kintetsu Liners, we know that Will Genya, PNG, former Wallaby as well, he's there. But we saw Rico Ioane. Is he? Oh, Kira Ioane, sorry. He's there now.
Yeah, Akira One is signed up. He won't come until after the NPC.
Oh, okay.
There's about 13 or 14 Polynesians here. Unbelievable. Oh, so, wow. Quaden, you mentioned. Andrew McKilio, remember him? Hooker, prop, played for Crusaders.
Oh, yes, yep.
About 3 or 4 years ago. Handy player. We got some young boys, Patrick Tafa from Brisbane. Mate, there's this Fijian bloke here. He hasn't arrived yet, but Sonali Waka played one game for Japan. Freak. Unbelievable. Seen some of his footage. He's about 6'8".
The lock, yeah? He's the lock?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw him play, holding the ball like a tennis ball.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable athlete. So you might see more of him on the international stage, I reckon.
Yeah, I can't wait. Kefa, it's unreal. Really appreciate your time. We're obviously joining in from Japan over there. So we'll get quick kick right off into the rugby union. Let's go with the Wallabies from last week in against the Springboks. Probably a better first half. You know, had the opportunity to maybe go up in front if Noel Olisio had have converted that penalty goal. But again, it just seemed like it was just miles away from where the Springboks are.
Yeah, look, I mean, the Springboks threw their B team at us, really, didn't they? And we just couldn't handle their power. Like we've always said at the start, it's a bit of a rebuilding stage. Joe and the coaching staff are getting their eyes over players, what's available to them, who's available to them, and then obviously just trying to find a way to play. So don't judge them by the results of this year. We just want to be competitive, I reckon, in these games. If we can fire some shots, throw some punches, I think that'll be great. But certainly from next year on, you know, we'll be looking to obviously win some games and win some tournaments.
Just with the second game against the Springboks, which Nijan footy players stood out for you?
Oh, Corey Abidi's a monster, eh? Did you see that hit he put on Quagga?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Off the kickoff, yep.
Oh, unbelievable. Hurt Quagga, actually. I've never seen Quagga go down before. So, look, I think once we can get him into the game, he's an absolute weapon for us. And I think we just got to get – once we establish our better players, I think we just got to get the ball to them more. Corey Abidi's a weapon on the wing.
Yeah, he is. If we can get some more flow in attack, we need to bring those players into the game to get some momentum and some quick breakdown. Looking forward to the tour. Brendan Pengai-Mosa will join the Wallabies and they'll go over there. So hopefully they can compete and do well against the Argies. We'll move over to the Pacific Nations Cup. Starts today. Fiji versus Samoa. Fiji's got a pretty stacked team there.
Yeah, look, unbelievable squad. And the depth that they've created over the last 3 to 5 years has been unbelievable, you know, with Drua, and they've had a team in the NRC, and they've got players all over the world. I mean, we've got 3 Fijian players here. I reckon every top league one team has got 1 or 2 players, Fijians in it. So, you compare it to Samoa and Tonga, a lot of the players from those two teams have chosen to play NPC, which is unfortunate. And the organisers, the World Cup World Rugby organisers, it's just not the right timing in the calendar for this to happen. There's a lot of players picking NPC over the PNC simply because of the money. A player that's going to play PNC, I don't know how much Fiji and Samoa play, but Tonga usually play about $500 a week. If you got a PNC contract or NPC contract, you're making $30,000-$40,000.
Mm. It's probably a good question, Sam. You might know this one. Is do they have that clause in their contract where they can go and play and represent their nations, or are they stuck at their NPC teams?
No, I think they can be released, but at the end of the day, it's up to the player.
Yeah,
if they want to make themselves available, is that right, Kef? There, just on those regulations of
yes,
if they do put their hand up, they can go, but more often than not, it's just up to the individual.
Yeah, exactly. And the biggest decision is you're looking at guys who, if they want to go play PNC for Tonga or Samoa, they need to be rewarded accordingly. So they're giving up basically $30,000-$40,000 to go away for the PNC, for what, 6-7 weeks at $500 a week. It just doesn't add up.
Yeah, you'd think there would be some influence from the clubs as well. You know, the money that they're spending for this player and then saying, okay, yeah, we'll let you go, hoping that you come back injury free.
Yeah, exactly. And in those games too, when you're playing Pacific Islanders on Pacific Islanders for 3 weeks in a row, it's going to do some damage on the body. So you'd want to cotton wool them a little bit and get them back in one piece. But let's talk about the game, Fiji against Samoa. You know, for those who missed your preview throughout the last 3 weeks, what do you think the strengths and the weaknesses are for both Fiji and Samoa leading into this game?
Oh, look, I think Fiji, yeah, they're pretty strong. They got a stacked side. You know, I think their flanker, Salawa, has been outstanding form all year. You know, the combination of Frank, now he's combined, they picked Caleb Muntz, who I think is a bloody really good player. But they got that Armstrong Ravula coming off the bench, and him and Frank's combination throughout the year have been outstanding. They've got a stacked side, Fiji. Fiji should win this game and probably should win the PNC. Samoa, they've still got some handy players. You know, they're going to be missing, you know, Duncan Payer has gone back to his top 14 duties. And, you know, Nigel Arwong and Visanir have chosen to play NPC. But still, there's some really good players there. But, yeah, I think Fiji will win this. If Samoa want to be a chance, look, they've just got to slow the game down, try and go to the set piece and have a really good set piece to try and disrupt Fiji. But if Fiji find any momentum, you know, it could be dangerous for them.
Yeah, played in Suva as well, so I'm sure the Suva crowd will get out there and get behind their Fijians and looking forward to a massive clash. You know, in terms of the other teams in the PNC, we know there's Fiji, Samoa, Tonga, but we've also got Japan, USA, Canada as well. Japan, you've already mentioned some of the Pacifica players that have represented them. Yeah, how do you think they're going to fare in this tournament?
Yeah, I think the Japan team should take this out. They've had players who have played regular, good top-line footy. That top league one now is getting better and better. The quality and the intensity of that rugby is getting better and better every year. And just have a look at the players they've got running around in that. A heap of Springboks, All Blacks. The American team, they've got some players from the Free Jacks who won the tournament. I think there's five players running around that team. They're actually going to get better. They missed out. Both teams would be disappointed for missing out on the World Cup. So they're going to both put their best foot forward leading into the World Cup in a couple of years.
Hey, Kev, last question for me. Are you a light packer? Did you take any food from Australia over to Japan?
you don't take food to Japan. It's the best food in the world over there.
Mate, Tim Tams. Yeah,
true. True.
You know what I did take? I took a bottle of Vegemite, but then I forgot to pack it into my onboard luggage underneath the plane. And so I tried to take it through customs and take it on board. They took it off me.
Spewing.
Oh, we have to get Sam to send you over a bottle of
Vegemite's a big one. You know, deodorants and toothpaste as well. That's usually a tip for the foreigners. Just it's just not as good over there in Japan compared to what we have here.
And what's did you say moshi moshi?
Moshi moshi.
What does that mean for our listeners and myself?
It's Kev, come on, tell me you know what this means.
You only say it on the phone.
On the phones. Really.
It's hello on the phone. Yeah.
That's when you use it. So we're sort of, we're on the phones here.
I'll bring a new word for you every week, T, all right, in Japanese.
Beautiful. Oh, just on that, it's Tongan Language Week. Have you got something for us there?
Ah, yeah, malolele.
He knows more Japanese, mate.
He does.
You caught me short there.
Oh, surely there. Oh, yeah, because all the swear words would have come to your head. That's what. Nah, all good. So, boys, mata ne, because we'll see him again. So, mata next
and
time.
And ofa atu.
Okay. Kev, as always, we really appreciate your time. Thanks so much. And all the best over there and rip into training in the heat.
And the sunscreen, mate. Slip, slop, slap.
Absolute pleasure, guys. And Sam, I'll tell these guys that I haven't seen you. I don't know where you are.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, mate. I've got no more yet.
The money you owe.
Thanks, brother.
Okay,
appreciate it.
See you later, guys.
Take care.
Shh. Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
Yes, time to bring out that competitive spirit that I was talking about in our intro, Sammy. This is where we will answer a question from Professor Paulo at the end of the season. This one's for a fancy lunch. The score is, I'm on, how are you on 12?
Yeah, because I've been getting them right. That's
I'm
how.
On 10.5, you're on 12. I've had too much stuff going on. Now that all my club visits are done, I'm zoning in and I'm coming home strong.
Let's rip into it, T.
This week we are crossing codes to T20 cricket as there was a Pacific region qualifier for the Olympics. Samoan Darius Visser hit the highest score in one over in T20 cricket. What was that score or the closest to that highest score?
T. I'm
going
to go here.
Are you just going early because you want to just have the first crack at it? Okay, so you don't actually know. Like, you've never seen this guy hit a ball, have you?
It's 24.
24 is his high score?
In an over. Did you listen to the question?
Oh, is it in an over, did it say? No, there's no way you got 24. Oh, actually, no, that's all right.
You're doing the maths in your head, mate?
You're doing the math.
Six
is a 36. Four fours.
Don't overthink it, bro.
So you're going 24.
Are you going lower or higher?
No, I think I'm going to go a bit lower.
Just lower?
I don't know. I'm just thinking Samoan cricketers. Maybe they're...
Because he might have got a few sixes in that one.
Yeah.
Remember, it's T20 and he's playing...
Yeah, I'm 25.
Yeah. Samoan Darius Visser hit six sixes and had three no balls. So his final score in the one over 36. Was 39 runs.
39. 39.
So does that mean
wow.
I win? Yes, I win.
Wow. Who was he playing?
Yeah, who were they playing? The kids?
Vanuatu.
Oh, wow.
Oh, mate.
That's impressive. Can you get any higher than that? No, that's it. So that's the highest.
Why didn't you go lower? You said you wanted to go lower.
Well, you told me, you want to go higher. So I was like, you know what? I will then. So that's your fault for
that's
talking
a,
too
that's
much.
A stitch up, mate.
God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
This is our knockout tipping comp. We pick one team each week from the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds, and we can't pick them again in a few weeks of doing NRLW. We're going back to Rugby Union. We've got the Fiji Samoa game. Do you want to go head to head?
Head to head.
Yeah, do you want to go head to head in that game, or do you want to do a bit of a head start or something for that?
I'll go Fiji. We'll go head to head.
Okay, sweet. Well,
you asked me the question and I answered it.
Yeah, I know. I'm just.
I'll
so who do you want to go?
No.
Who do you want to go? Head
so
to head, let's
I'll
go.
I'll go Fiji, Samoa. I'll give you a 15.5 point start. 15.5
points. If I choose Samoa.
If you choose, well, I've got,
okay, I'll go. I'll take those odds.
All right.
I'll take those odds in Samoa.
There you have it. And then in the Rugby League, we've only got three more rounds to go. Then we've got finals. So start thinking... Finals footy, which teams do you have left? Which teams are in the top eight? Who are you going for NRL?
I've got a few teams left for the for finals footy, so I'm going to keep that alive for one more week and then go the Rabbitohs Knights game. I don't think the Rabbitohs are going to win, but I can't choose the Knights because I've already done them, but I'm going to go the Rabbitohs.
Rabbitohs to beat the Knights.
They're at home. Hopefully that means something. So I'll go the Rabbits.
I was going to go the Knights to beat the Rabbits, but I'm going to save Knights for next week. And this week I will go the Broncos to beat the Eels, the struggling Eels this season. And then we'll see a big matchup in a couple of weeks where the Eels will take on the Tigers.
Tigers, and hopefully the Eels get the wooden spoon so I become Nostradamus.
Oh, yep, I'm going Broncos this week. And that's us done, Sammy.
Perfect. Hey, that's Nijin Footy wrapped up for Friday. Remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Nijin Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
And I am back.
You're
next
back.
Monday.
Oh, you're back on Monday?
We are ripping into it. I'm looking forward to it. All right, ka kite to all our listeners.
Ofalahi atu to all of our Tongans as well. Happy Tongan Language Week. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.